15 men on a dead man's chest.
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
Drink and the devil be done for the rest.
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
Well, tomorrow is National Rum Day, so Andrew Cabot, the owner of Privateer Rum based in Ipswich, Mass, he probably drinks rum almost every day, but he is the owner of Privateer Rum, and he joins us now from Ipswich. Great to have you with us, Andrew.
That's my pleasure, Pim.
Do you drink rum every day?
I do not.
You don't? My goodness. But I gather you'll be drinking some tomorrow in honor of National Rum Day.
It's a responsibility that comes with a job.
Oh, it's tough, I know. What is rum? I know it's a distilled beverage. It comes from sugar cane. But what makes one rum different than another?
Great question, great definition. It is, as you said, a derivative of sugar cane. So that could be molasses. That could be cane juice itself. It is fermented, then distilled. And the types of rum depend on the process that you go through. For instance, if it is a silver rum, that is something that has seen the distillation process but has not gone into an aging cask. And the other version of silver rum is you end up taking something that's in cask and filtering it back to being clear again. And I would say rum is a very heterogeneous category, and there's a lot of ways to achieve the end product.
Andrew, you're the end product of a long line of rum aficionados. Tell us about how you came to be in the rum business.
Well, it was a kind of a fluke history genealogy project where I found a namesake who was a tremendous privateer, molasses smuggler, as well as a rum distiller back just about the time of our American Revolution, a little bit before and during. And I was just inspired by the characterization I would find in these books that were normally very dry, and kept referring to him as a great man who was a great reader of both people and situations. And as I looked into the bill of sale of his rum distillery, I thought, this might just be a great project.
So you went from running a technology company to being a rum maker.
A perfectly logical switch.
Clearly, very logical. One can see the direction and your earnestness here. What role does a distiller play in the making of rum?
Well, distiller is sort of a coverall. It's really, think of it as a production manager. So they typically are responsible for every aspect of the job. That's from sourcing goods, raw materials as ingredients, including yeast and water, and all the way through to the final bottling process.
Tell us about Privateer Rum. What makes it distinct?
Well, it's a great question. We are a small batch distiller producing outstanding rums. The differentiation for us is primarily that we've brought best distilling practices and a pure focus on making the best possible spirit to a category that, for the large part, has been made kind of quick and dirty for its history. And it's been fascinating to see what, for us, was a theory of action and a curiosity, and to see the marketplace respond so well.
As far as true American amber rum, what gives it its color?
Color is entirely from the wood. We add nothing to our rums, no flavors, no colorings, no nothing, which again is an example of that best practices that we describe. And when you end up with, when you end up adding nothing, you end up with a rum that ends up tasting more like a whiskey. It doesn't have that signature sweet flavor, but that signature sweet flavor is not part of the distillation process. What comes off the still is actually not sweet. There are no residual sugars. That's all been added after the fact.
Now, you still also have Silver Reserve rum.
Correct.
What is that?
Silver Reserve is made with cane juice as well as a brown sugar. And we really focused on some of the rich and herbaceousness of some of the agricole products. But we were trying to push back any funkiness or some of the qualities that come with bacterial fermentation. And that is a local process to, say, Martinique, Guadeloupe, and other French islands.
I'm speaking with Andrew Cabot. He is the owner of Privateer Rum. Andrew, have you seen a resurgence or an expansion in rum or craft rum distillery?
It's a great question. If you locate this, you can remember that in the 70s and 80s, we saw a big push in scotch. In the 90s, we saw a lot of push in vodka. In the 2000s, we saw gin, tequila, bourbon, American whiskeys that aren't corn-based as well. And everybody's been waiting for rum to make its move from what I'll call the second shelf to the top shelf. And it was attempted in the last decade over, sort of bottling and fancy marketing. But ultimately, it was only going to make its move forward when people approach making the product differently. And that's what's really driving this resurgence that we see at the high end of rum.
Andrew, what about the taste that consumers prefer? How do you gauge the trend in rum?
So in my mind, it's a very heterogeneous category, as I've described. We're delighted to see how many people are open to this high-end, well-distilled product, our rums as they are today. And that includes people from both the rum world as well as from other spirits crossing over, including the bartenders who are making the drinks and making whole new categories of rum drinks.
Give us some idea of Andrew Cabot's favorite rum drinks.
I'm guilty of loving things neat. As a purist, there's nothing better to me than just the glass and the spirit itself and just taking a long, slow time with it.
What does it cost, for example, the True American Amber Rum? What is that estimated to cost?
True American, we don't actually control prices on the street, but typically about $34, $36. And the Silver Reserve comes in at about $27,
$28. Well, we'll all raise a glass to you. Thank you very much, Andrew Cabot. He is the owner of Privateer Rum. He's based in Ipswich, Mass. And tomorrow is National Rum Day, so get your grog ready. You're listening to Taking Stock. I'm Pim Fox. You can follow me on Twitter at Pim Fox. And you're listening to Bloomberg Radio. Coming up on Taking Stock, digging deeper into the drivers of Kellogg's sales decline. We'll find out whether the maker of Frosted Flakes can get its mojo back. That's next.